I was in a video chat this week, a meeting with some folks from Northwest Ohio, and video chats are great because otherwise we would have all had to go to Tiffin or somewhere else to meet up. But how many of you have done a video chat? All right. Now, has anyone ever been in a video chat where someone didn't at some point start talking and no one else could hear them? Happens every time. Every time. It happened this week. One of the people in the meeting was talking, and all of a sudden we couldn't hear anything we were saying, and we're all yelling at her, "You're on mute, you're on mute." And finally she was like, "Oh, all right, what did you miss? What did I say that you didn't hear?" It happens every single time where someone's talking to no one. And I think a lot of us have kind of accepted that. While it may annoy us in video chats, we've accepted it as par for the course when it comes to prayer. That a lot of us experience this disconnection where either we are saying something and God can't hear, or God is saying something and we can't hear. One of us is on mute. And this is far from the picture of prayer, and far from the picture of God, in fact, that we get in the scriptures and the experiences of those in the New Testament. I'm sure that there have been people of faith for centuries and centuries who have experienced that silence and that distance. But it seems like when there are times of silence, it's excruciating. It's purposeful. There's a reason for it. It's not the norm of the experience of those who live in relationship and covenant with the triune God. On Trinity Sunday, we reflect on what many theologians have called the dynamic dance of the transcendent God and the incarnate Word and the Spirit of life that is the Trinity. And the gospel is the invitation to us to participate in that dance. As Peter says, to be participants in the divine nature. And prayer, at its core, is a participation in the Trinity. And so as followers of Jesus, it's important that we see our prayers not like those chutes at the bank. You know, when you go to the bank, I've never used these things, but people do, you know, where you put in something, you put the container in and it shoots up and you hope something comes back in it, right? We need to view our prayers less like that and more like a participation in the divine community where the depths of God's power and wisdom and love can be found. And if we think about a century of being a church, whatever power and wisdom and love that we have and have had as a church has come from prayer and from the people in this community who have made sure that the church community was plugged in to the divine community of Father, Son, and Spirit and everything that comes and is created through that dance. And so this morning, as we think about those who have faithfully and fervently prayed for this church and prayed for the people of this church and prayed for guidance and the direction of this church for 100 years, we're going to look at prayer and what it is that the Trinity can teach us about prayer. And as I mentioned before, every effort to ultimately break down the Trinity is doomed. And so this isn't comprehensive. It's not meant to be. But I want to look at where the Father and the Son and the Spirit are when we pray. So let's first look at the Father, or the transcendent, above nature of God. And Jesus tells us a little bit about where the Father is as we pray. In Matthew 6, in the Sermon on the Mount, he says this: "Whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." So the Father sees you in prayer. And then just a couple of verses later, he talks about making sure you don't think that just by saying a bunch of words, you're going to get God to do what you want. And he reminds us of this truth. He says, your Father knows what you need before you ask him. That's important for us to know when we pray. So when we pray, we know that God knows what we most deeply need. And then just the next chapter, chapter 7, verse 11, Jesus says, if you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, which we do, how much more will your heavenly Father give good things to those who ask for them? And so the Father, when we pray, is watching us, seeing us, knowing us, and desiring to give us what is good for us. We know that. And I understand that as we say this, there might be some questions, well, why pray? If God already knows, if God already wants to give it to us, why do we even pray? It's because God is a community, and he wants us to be in community with him. God wants to be with you in conversation. He wants this to be a participatory, a mutual relationship, not just vending machine and the one who's grabbing stuff out of it. So the Father sees us and knows us and is ready to give good gifts to us when we pray. What about the Son? What about Jesus? John 15. This is where Jesus is giving us this beautiful image. Beautiful image of the vine and the branches. And in verse 5 he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. And so Jesus is in a sense this connector. And we're going to go to Hebrews, and we're going to get a little more insight into what Jesus is talking about there. So this is in Hebrews, where are we? Hebrews 7 verse 25. Flipping around here. Hebrews 7:25. Jesus, or the author of Hebrews says, consequently, Jesus is able for all time to save those who approach God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. What does that mean? Jesus is praying for you. And if we want to ask the question, you know, we just came out of the Easter season, but, you know, why is Jesus raised? And what is Jesus doing now that he's ascended? He's praying for you. He lives to make intercession for you. He is the great high priest. A priest is a go-between. Jesus is our go-between. Between the Father, the good gift giver, and us, those who need those gifts. Jesus is praying for us and going ahead of us into the throne room of God. And so, you know, there's this great song, the song from the great musical Camelot. Anyone know the musical Camelot? And there's the song, I wonder what the king is doing tonight. Well, if we wonder what our king is doing tonight, he's praying for you in the throne room of God, asking his Father to give you the good gifts that God desires for you to have because of his love. And we get to the Spirit. And this, I mean, if you're looking for the gospel, Romans 8 is a great place to look. And if you're looking for the Trinity, Romans 8 is a great place to look. And it shows us what the Spirit is doing. In verse 15 it says, for you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And we need that reminder. When we pray, we need to be reminded that we are praying as children, as daughters and sons of God. And the Spirit, while we pray, is reminding us of that, that we have been adopted into the family of God. And while there are moments where we speak of ourselves as servants of God, the essence of who we are in this whole relationship, in this whole divine dance and community, we are daughters and sons. And the Spirit reminds us of that. And then, even further, verse 26, it says, likewise, Paul says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. Does anyone ever feel like that? I don't even know what to pray for. I feel this. when I pray. And you can have all the words you want. It's not a matter of words. It's a matter of, God, what can I say? You know, what can I say? And so when we feel like that, it says that very Spirit intercedes. There's that word again. Intercedes with sighs or groans too deep for words. So the Spirit is taking what we can't even articulate in our hearts and in our souls and is moving it towards God. Is moving the groans and sighs that we can't express and turning them into prayers for what we need. And so you have the Father, who is this transcendent, sovereign, overall presence, who is watching over us and ready to dispense the good things that we need. We have the Son, who is the incarnate one, who walked among us and revealed God to us, who's praying for us. And we have the Spirit, who is imminent and near and inside of us, who is the love itself, as Augustine says, inside of us, bringing our needs to God. And this whole divine conversation is going on in the throne room, whatever that looks like, concerning you and concerning me. God is praying for you, even as God receives your prayers. And that is such an assurance, an individual, personal assurance that we need to know. That even when we pray, even when we're not praying, Jesus and the Spirit are still praying for us. God is still watching over us and seeing us. It's also important for us to remember that this conversation isn't just about me. It's not just me and Jesus, right? It's about each of us. This conversation is about each of us. God is praying. Jesus is praying for the people that you're praying for. He's praying for your family. He's praying for your friends. He's praying for your neighbors. He's praying for Donald Trump and James Comey. He's praying for Vladimir Putin. He's praying for those members of the Taliban and ISIS. God is praying for our family and our friends. He's praying for our enemies. That's what Jesus commanded us to do, to pray for our friends and also for our enemies. And that's what this conversation in the throne room of God is happening. Jesus is praying and the Spirit is praying for each one of his beloved creations. You and me and all people. There is a dynamic conversation going on about God's love and God's invitation to join in that love and God's desire to transform and shape. And what are they talking about? What are they praying about? What are Jesus and the Spirit praying for us? Now that's something to think about. What is Jesus praying for you? What is the Spirit praying for you? Not just what do you want, but what does God want for you? What is the Spirit praying for your friends and family members who are in need? What is Jesus praying for our enemies and those we'd rather not talk about or even pray for? And I assure you that whatever it is that Jesus and the Spirit are praying for you, it's bigger and better than whatever you're praying for yourself, whatever you're praying for other people. Paul writes this wonderful verse in Ephesians 3. He says, Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be the glory. Think about that. That God has the power and the will to do in you and through you far more than you can ask or imagine. And so when you enter into that divine conversation, into that community, when you pray, when you enter into that conversation, don't just talk. Listen. Listen. Be a part of this conversation among the Father and the Son and the Spirit, among the Scriptures, are part of that conversation as we try to discern what is God saying? What is Jesus praying for us? What does God desire for me? It's a conversation that goes on with all of the saints, past and present. That's why we come together and we pray together to figure out, what is God saying? What is God praying for us? What does God want for us? It's this dynamic conversation. It's not just this thing we toss up there and hope that maybe someone will get a hold of in the heavenly realms. Some of you are prayer warriors, we call them, are people who pray and lift up the needs of each one of us and the church and the people you love. Some of you are those people who lift up God's creation in prayer. And some of you just do it kind of at home and informally. Some of you in this church's history have done it officially and formally, whether it's through the prayer vine or whether it's leading prayers up here as a liturgist or other worship services or leading prayers in your growth groups. You are the heartbeat and the lifeblood of this church. Because prayer is our RSVP in the divine conversation. It's our participation in the divine nature, in the divine community. And we need prayer now more than ever. And not just for our success individually or as a church, but for our rootedness, our security in the love of God as daughters and sons. And that we would live into that in a way that the world would notice that God is among us. And so I urge you this week and beyond, three things. One, pray for the church. Pray for the church this week. And pray for your wants, your heart's desire for the church, but not just for your wants. Listen to the divine conversation that's already going on about Point Place UCC. What does God want for us? What is the Spirit praying for us? What is Jesus interceding for us about? And how might God be moving you to help the church connect with that power and wisdom and love of God? Pray for the church. Second, pray for yourself. Pray for yourself. And some people don't like doing this, and they say, oh, I feel selfish praying for myself. No. You need to pray for yourself. Because again, it's not just you asking God what you want, it's about you seeking what God wants for you. So pour out your heart, but also listen in on what God is saying about you too. All right? And I encourage you this week, you might revisit some of those prayer practices we talked about last year. We did that series on prayer called The Living God, centering prayer, circling, right? If you remember some of these, the Lord's Prayer in a meditative, reflective way, and other forms of prayer, you might go back to some of those, because those aren't just about telling God what we want, it's about connecting with the divine. So pray for yourself, and then third, lift up your family and your friends and your neighbors and, yes, your enemies into that conversation. And picture that. Picture however you want to picture it. I don't know what it looks like, but picture the Father, Son, and Spirit having this divine conversation. And picture lifting up those people into the presence of the triune God. And listen and ask and see what that conversation is all about. Pray for your church, pray for yourself, pray for your family, friends, neighbors, and even your enemies. And when you pray, don't pray like someone has accidentally hit mute on one side of this conversation and the words are just bouncing right back. Participate in this conversation among the divine community that seeks to bring the love of God always to life on earth. Let's pray. God, who is the lover and the beloved and love itself, welcome us into this conversation that you are having about us. Welcome us into your desires and your heart for us and for the church and for our neighborhoods and beyond. And God, help us to have some sense this week, some sense, some glimmer that our prayers are not just bubbles floating up eventually to be popped, that our prayers are an engagement in you, in your very essence as God. Help us to know that and find you as we seek you. Amen.